Mark chapter 10 and from verse 46. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the way. So we had the memory verse at the Holy Bible Club. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And I want us to think about those words of Jesus and want to set it in their context to see what happened before Jesus said these words and also to see what happened after Jesus said them. And to help us, I'm going to have three very simple headings that there's no treasure hunters today because you can remember these headings all your life. And it's simply this: ready, steady, go. Okay? You got that, Joya? Ready, steady, go. Can't be more simple. First of all, we're going to see something that the people were very ready for. And there's something that actually people all over the world are ready for. And we see it here in these two disciples of Jesus. Their names were James and John. They were brothers, the sons of Zebedee. And one day they came to Jesus and they wanted Jesus to do something for them. So we read here in verse 35. They came and said, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." They wanted Jesus to do something for them. And what they wanted really was to share in Jesus' glory. Jesus says to them, "Well, what do you want me to do for you?" And so they reply in verse 37, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." Quite a request. At one level, it's recognizing that Jesus is the glorious King of Kings. So they do well in that respect. And Jesus, of course, does want us to come to him with our requests. But there's something very wrong about this request. You see, they imagine Jesus there as the King of Kings at the end of the age, and Jesus coming in the glory of his kingdom, and everyone bowing to Jesus, everyone serving him and praising him. And if they could be sat one on his right, one on his left, they can share in his glory. They were ready to take the glory. They wanted to be honored. They wanted to be respected. They wanted to be up there with the King of the universe. And Jesus could do it for them. They were his friends. They were his disciples. "Jesus, we want that you have one of us on your right, one of us on your left, when you're in your glory." Now, not surprisingly, the other 10 disciples were a little bit upset by this. In fact, they were more than upset. They were very angry with James and John. Who do James and John think they are? But of course, the response of the other 10 disciples also shows that they were quite ready to receive the glory. We read that they were indignant, verse 41. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. You see, the other 10 also wanted that glory. They were ready to receive the praise and the respect and the honor. And, you know, we're all a bit like that. All of us are rather keen to have a little bit of glory, aren't we? We like to be noticed. We like to look good so that people think well of us. We like to do well. We like to be respected. We want a little bit of glory. We're all ready for some glory. And of course, if we can't actually be at the very top, well, at least we want to be part of the best. And so when you're choosing which football team to support, well, you tend not to go for, you know, the lower leagues. There are a few people who do, because they come from that city. But, you know, you tend to go for the Manchester City and Arsenal and Tottenham, those sort of teams. You want to be there with the best. And when you come to work, you want to work for a really good company. Or you want to be in the best country in the world. You think your country is the best. We all want to share in some glory. How many children who love football, they want to be the striker, don't they, scoring the goals? Yeah? You want to be that one who shoots that ball and it curls into the top corner. You want the glory, who scores. And when we're adults and we're working, we're really the same. We want to be the boss. We want to be the chairperson. We want to be the person who's really valued in our place of work. And why is it that people are so ready to get more money? You know what money does for you? Money enables you to have other people serving you. You can go out for meals. They can serve you. You can go on fantastic holidays and they wait on you. With money, we can get people to serve us. We are always ready for the glory. We're always ready for a bit of honour, a bit of respect. That's our first point. Ready. Now, our second point, who can remember the second point? What's the heading?
Steady.
Steady. Right, now at this point I need a couple of you to come up, as I need you to come up to the front here. Who wants to come up? Some of the younger ones. Any volunteers? Come on, Joya. Anyone going to join Joya? Just one more volunteer. Oh, it's not going to work if there's only one of you. Bethan, well done, Bethan. Now have a good look round. I want you to get ready. It's going to be a race. Right, come stand here. Come stand here. Now, can you see what you're going to try and get? Look round. Keep looking round. Steady. You see, you're very ready to go for the crown, aren't you? And I need to say, steady, steady. You know, my grandfather used to say to me, steady on, boy, steady on, lad. And that's what you need. See, we're ready, aren't we, to go for the crown. We all want the crown. But actually, there's something else here that you could race to do. Something right here. Yeah, what do you think this is all about? Polishing my shoes. They need a good polish, don't they? Well, aren't you going to polish them for me? Oh, look at that. Oh, what did you find inside there? Oh, there you go. Well done. No, you can keep the chocolate and you can polish the shoes later. There we go. See, thank you, Bethan, for kindly obliging. We're so ready, aren't we, to go for the glory, for the crown. And we don't even notice the ways we can serve. But look at what Jesus says, verse 42. Because he calls the disciples together. Here they are. They're all eager for the glory, aren't they? They want the crown. Jesus calls them together. You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. He says, now look, steady on. Do you really want to be like your cruel overlords? Those people who have authority and they shout orders to people and they get people to serve them. But look at them. Do you really want to be like that? Not so with you. Instead, verse 43, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Jesus' words, that they're like a steadying hand on our shoulder. Think about what you really want. Do you really want all that money? Do you really want all that honor, all that glory? Do you really want to be like your Roman overlords who are cruel and harsh? You see, all too often, if you're going to reach the top, you do it by treading others down. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who's reached the top in their company or in their political party has done so at the expense of others, but all too often, it is like that. And Jesus tells us here to stop striving to be the top. Rather, make it your ambition to serve, to look for those shoes that need polishing for someone else, rather than for the glittering crown. Make it your ambition not to be the first, because that is the path that Jesus showed. Another football illustration. Pat Nevin. He did a piece this week on Manchester City. That's got the attention of some of you. And he was saying, now, which player in Manchester City is indispensable, irreplaceable? Is it Aguero? All those goals he scores. Is it De Bruyne? Great Belgian footballer. Those wonderful passes, scoring in the goals. Is it Sterling? And actually said no. Because there are other players in Manchester City's squad that can replace those three guys. And Pat Nevin's man was Stones in defence. Not the glorious position, but the guy who helps provide a platform from which the others can do well. And sometimes that's what Jesus wants us to do, to be the person who's not noticed, to be the person who isn't seeking glory. You see, James and John had ignored what Jesus had just been telling them before this. Look at verse 33. Jesus is saying, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. You see, the kingdom of God isn't just about glory. There's also the suffering. And James and John had completely ignored what Jesus had said about the way he was going to suffer, the way in which he was going to be killed. They just want the glory, and they forget the path that leads to glory is a path of suffering. And so Jesus says, not even the Son of Man came to be served. He deserves to be served. He's the King of glory. But he didn't come in order to be served. But he came to serve and to give his life as a ransom. He didn't come to seek glory for himself and respect and honor. But he came to give and to serve. And so Jesus shows us another way. He shows up. Our desire to be served. He puts a steadying hand on our shoulder and says, no, there's a better way. And yet we have this dilemma, don't we? We can see that it's rather selfish very often to try and be the first and the top. We can see how so often it puts other people down. We can see that it promotes our pride and that it's not a good thing. We can see that, you know, we want people to think well of us, and yet that's arrogant. Well, Jesus doesn't just steady us with his words. He also comes to set us free from that way of living. So what's our third point? Ready, steady, go. Well done, Lucas. Ready, steady, go. We're all ready, aren't we, to receive the glory. Jesus comes and puts his steadying hand on our shoulder and said, hold on a minute. Don't go for that. I can set you free so that you can go. Imagine being imprisoned. And you've been there for years and years, and then one day someone comes, they unlock the door, they open it wide and say, you are free to go. And that's what Jesus does. He sets us free. The Son of Man came to give his life as a ransom. The picture of a ransom we had at the Holiday Bible Club, Benji being kidnapped by a pirate. And he had to be set free with a ransom that was paid. Well, Jesus gave his life as a ransom. It's like we're trapped. We're trapped with this incessant desire to have glory. You feel that in your life? You always want people to notice you. You want people to think well of you. You want people to give you glory. You want people to serve you. And we're addicted to it. We're trapped by it. It imprisons us. And Jesus comes and says, I can set you free. I can set you free from that. So that you don't need to always receive the glory from others, but that you can truly be free to serve me. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom. Now, what does that mean? Jesus gave his life as a ransom. People have debated, you know, who did he pay the ransom to? Well, it certainly wasn't to the devil. The devil isn't owed anything by God. No. Think of it like this. God wants from us a life of service where we're giving glory to God. God alone is worthy of all our glory. And yet we try and steal that from God. We're so ready to take the glory, we take it away even from God. And yet our life has been made. God has created us to give glory to God. That is what God wants from each of us, that our lives constantly magnify God. But we fail to do that. But there was one person whose life constantly pleased God in heaven, and that was Jesus. And so Jesus was told by his Father in heaven, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Jesus' life was a perfect life of glorifying God. And then Jesus offered that life to God. He offered it on our behalf. The life that we should have lived for God, Jesus has lived on our behalf. And then he offered it to God. He gave his life as a ransom. He paid for our sins so that we can both be forgiven, but also so that we can be set free. His perfect, selfless life, the life that we ought to be living, he lived for us and then gave his life as a ransom. We owe God glory. But in our lives, we've taken glory for ourselves. But Jesus says, I've paid it for you. You can go free. You're free. No longer to have to live for your own glory, no longer trapped by this constant desire for praise and honor and recognition. James and John didn't yet see. But there was a little story that follows on from the story of James and John seeking glory. And it's the story of Bartimaeus, the blind man. And he calls out to Jesus. And he isn't asking for glory. And it's very interesting, we have exactly the same words from Jesus that are said to both James and John and to Bartimaeus. So Jesus says in verse 36 to James and John, what do you want me to do for you? And then in verse 51, When Bartimaeus is brought to Jesus, Jesus says exactly the same thing to Bartimaeus. What do you want me to do for you? Verse 51. And what James and John ask for is glory. What Bartimaeus asks for is, Lord, or Rabbi, I want to see. He'd been trapped by his blindness. He wants to see. And Jesus gives him this request. Go, said Jesus, your faith has healed you. And then what does he do with this new sight? He follows Jesus on the way. And there we have, in such a simple, straightforward story, what Jesus wants of us. He says to us, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want me to set you free? Free from this constant grabbing after your own glory? Free from that selfish way of life? Do you want to see the glory of Jesus and follow him? Do you want to be united to him so that his life can be lived through you, so that instead of being greedy for glory, you can serve and be generous with your life? Will you follow him and go his way? So Jesus asks that question of us this morning. What do you want me to do for you? Do you want Jesus to bolster you, to make you seem glorious? Or do you want Jesus to free you, to transform your life, to open your eyes to see the true glory of God? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Why are you in church today? Is it for yourself or is it for God? Are you here to worship him? Is your life to worship him, to give him glory? What do you want me to do for you? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came into this world. Though you are the King of glory, we thank you that you came to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you free us when we put our faith in you. May we be like Bartimaeus, who cried out to you for the help that only you could give him. O Lord, would you free us from our addiction to self-interest and self-glory? And free us, O Lord, to see your glory and to live for that. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.